Welcome. Welcome to worship. God of love, light a flame of love in our hearts to you, a flame of love to our families and friends, a flame of love to our neighbors, a flame of love to our enemies. Light a flame of love in our hearts to all, from the lowliest thing that lives to the name that is highest of all. Amen. It's good to be gathered this morning, gathered in this place to hear more from a woman who has taken her faith and her call for peace building very seriously. And as she moves in the ordinary of her life, she inspires many around the world, including us, I hope and pray. I learned last evening from Ken L. Nofziger that one of our undergraduate students is in the hospital this morning at UVA. It's Matt Schwarzentruber. He and a friend were biking last evening, mountain biking, and he had an accident and had injuries to his head. And so he's currently doing all right after a good night's sleep, but he's staying at UVA for monitoring. His parents are with him. Would ask that you watch for an email update from Ken later today. And would we please pause for prayer? And I'm inviting each one of you to pray in your own way for Matt and his family at this time. God of healing, we thank you. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Jan Jenner. I direct the Practice and Training Institute, which is part of the Center for Justice and Peacebuilding. And I'm really pleased today to introduce Lema Gbowe, a peacebuilding leader from Liberia whose skills, commitment, and passion for peace and justice in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and throughout Africa and the world has been increasingly recognized by governments, by civil society, and by the millions of individuals whose lives she has touched and changed. She's also a mother of six children, an NGO leader, a great cook, and a dancer without peer. And Lema's also an EMU alumna, having graduated from CJP in 2007. We're honored to have her back here today, and I'm humbled to be able to call her my friend. Many of you attended last night's showing of the film about the work of women in Liberia that was instrumental in ending a war of decades. Lema was a leader in that movement, and those of you who were here last night experienced the power of that peacebuilding work and of the individual women, rich and poor, Christian and Muslim, who were part of it. As I watched the film last night, I kept thinking about John 1:5, which reads, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And while I realize that John is referring to Jesus in that verse, I think it's not too much of a stretch to use it to refer to those women in Liberia, and so many other people around the world who work in the darkness, in the mud and the blood, and the violations of people that war, violence, and evil bring. I've known Lema for almost 10 years, and throughout that time I've known her as a woman of deep faith and as one of those lights that shines in the darkness without being overcome. She'll be sharing about her faith during this chapel. And now I'm pleased to turn this mic over to Lema.
Thank you, Jan, and I'm also happy to be called your friend, but not just a friend, but I think I have a mother at EMU. Thank you for having me. The Blue Ribbon for Peace, the 21st Century Award, the Feminist Majority Award, the JFK In Profiles in Courage Award, the Gruber Prize for Women's Human Rights, the Peace Ambassador for Refugee Women. No one could have prepared me for these awards and honors, given that 11 years ago, I was broke, virtually homeless, a young 25-year-old mother of four children with no idea of what my future might be. I was very angry. I blamed God, my parents, and the war for the situation I found myself in. It took the voice of God through my five-year-old son that I called Nuku to bring me back to this world and to bring me back to reality. In 1997, we went back home from Ghana, and I was lying in a chair and contemplating suicide. And then I heard him and my sister in the room, and she said to him, "Nuku, I bet you had a good time in Ghana, given that mommy was around." And he said, "No, I had a horrible time in Ghana. You see her lying there?" And my sister said, "Yes, that's how she lied all the time. And every time you reach for her, she said, 'Get away from me, I'm tired.'" It was at this point that I realized that I could not blame the war, my parents, and everything else for what situation and condition I found myself in. I needed to get up and do something with my life, but I didn't have the strength or the willpower. It meant trusting in God to help me escape the crippling hopelessness and find a place in building my self-esteem one tiny step at a time. My journey has not been as exotic as it may appear. The challenges at that point in time seemed never ending. When I took the first step to go back to do my first degree, and then I got a job that was paying me $100 a month, and then my bosses told me, "You have to decide between the job and school." This is a terrible thing. I have four kids to take care of. The $100 was almost like $1 million to me at the end of every month. But then I knew if I had to get anywhere in my life, I needed a degree. How do I do this? But every time as I took this journey in my life, God intervened by sending an angel. And in this first instance, the angel was a former Peace Corps volunteer who had assisted my boss when he was a young child. She saw me sitting very quietly one morning, just looking in space, just at the front of my office. And she said, "Lima, what's your problem?" I said, "Well, it's almost like my world is crashing. I've been told I have to decide between school and work." And she said, "Which one of these pastors is your boss?" I said, "Pastor Wiggy." She said, "Kowe?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Unbelievable." And she just smiled and said, "Call Kowe to my office." And then I went to him and said, "Deanna says you should go. She wants to see you." He walked into her office and she said, "Have a seat, Lima, have a seat. Kowe, you remember when I met you?" He said, "Yes, it was some 30, 40 years ago. And your father worked, but his salary wasn't enough to pay your fees. But the church had a policy that if one family member was working, another could not work at the time because we needed to spread out the job." He said, "Yes, I saw the potential in you and I gave you a job and you were able to finish high school based on the job." "Yes. So why do you have a policy that students cannot work in your office?" And he just sat there with his mouth open. But that next day, that law was changed, and I was able to go back to school. I say this to say that as I decided that I'm going to walk this walk and do something with my life, and God, I'm trusting you to help me. Every little step along the way, he sent me an angel. And in 2003, I think it was by divine making that I had this dream that the women were being called to pray for peace. And I went to my office and told this dream. And then my good friend said to me, "We should start something." And I said, "Yes, you all should start something." And she said, "No, I mean, we should start something." I said, "No, I don't qualify. I think God just used me to give that dream, but he didn't intend for me to be the leader of this thing." And she said, "No, there is no, once you have the dream, you are the dreamer. You are the only one who can take this dream forward." And I said, "No, I think he's telling me to tell you that you can take this dream forward." And then she said, "I'm going to find someone to pray." And then she brought this woman who said, "Okay, let's kneel down and pray," who worked with us. And she was one of the evangelists in the church. And we knelt down to pray. Afterwards, she said, "Lima, the Lord is telling me that you should have said, the Lord can never tell you that. I do not qualify to do this work." But gradually, through women and through angels, he strengthened me. And it wasn't easy building peace when you wake up in the morning and your kids are calling you and saying to you, "I need you." One of those mornings, my son, who was 8 at the time, had gotten a very deep cut on his head. And they were staying in Ghana. My mom called me and screaming on the phone. And she said, "You have to come. It's really bad." And I said, "I can't come because I have a calling." 6 years later, I stand here at EMU and look back at my life and look back at places that I've been, from a broke, virtually homeless person to a leader in my own country, to someone who speaks at the UN and people listen, to someone who speak at the EU and people listen, to someone who governments call and say, "What is your take? We're sending troops into this country. How do you think we should engage gender relations?" I didn't get there by myself. And I can never claim that it's because of my intelligence or my good look. I know I'm good looking. Or anything that I have done as an individual. But it's by the grace and mercy of God. And this is something that I teach my children every day. My son who was 5 then is 16 now. And I remember 2 years ago, I said, I have to bring these children to the point where they understand the true love of God and what walking in faith is. So I'm going to buy everyone a Bible. And I bought this Bible. And Nuku was 14 at the time, getting into the teenage madness. And for 2 days, I just saw the Bible lying where I left it. And I said, "Nuku, you're not reading your Bible and you will not get anything from me." The next evening, as if to make a point, I'm passing by his room, and as soon as he heard me, he shouted, "Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth." And then I said, "That's the spirit, starting from the first verse." But he has held my hands. In the most difficult of times, God has been there. And they have this song that says, "Order my steps in your ways, dear Lord." And every day as I wake up, that's my prayer. Because there is no way that anyone can take this journey as a peace builder, as an agent of change in your community, without having a sense of faith. It could be Jesus, it could be Muhammad, it could be Buddha, but there is no way that you can effect change in people's life if there is not someone that you rely on as the divine intervener or the divine one that you call onto every day. And this is something that I've learned. And as I continue my journey in this life, I keep reminding myself every day, all that I am, all that I hope to be, is because of God. There may be some young people in this room or some older folks who are going through life crisis, especially now with the economic downturn, and things look so bleak. You can only, or you will only blame yourself at the end of the day if you say, it's because of my mom, it's because of the economy, it's because of the U.S. government policy that I never attained what I wanted to. If you take the first step of faith, God is faithful, whoever you know him to be, to order your steps. I'm a witness. There's so much to do in this world. And there's just one Nigerian pastor who says, do you want to go around in the market square of life without leaving a legacy? I say no. By the help of God, I'll continue to do my part. Don't let anything hinder you. Take a step of faith, and God will see to the rest. Amen.